Lights, camera, action! Shit. You forgot.
Sure did. Welcome to Lights, Action. For October 2017, I'm Scott.
And I am Jason.
And this year, I'm trying to watch 100 movies that I own that I haven't watched since I bought them.
And I'm watching 24 movies, did I say? Because it's 2 a month.
Yeah.
So I'm watching 2 movies each month that I've never seen that I should have seen by now.
And then any other movies we watched.
Yeah, and then the movies that I assume everybody has seen, I might end up spoiling. And this month, due to circumstances, I actually watched 3 instead of 2, because one of them was Hocus Pocus, and I did not think I would get that in time, because I want to watch it for October, because it's Halloween. But I ended up getting it on the 31st, so I watched it since it was still Halloween. So I watched Saving Private Ryan, Hocus Pocus, and A Few Good Men.
Oh.
So those are the 3 movies I watched that I should have seen by now.
All right. The first movie I watched this month, I actually watched it in September, but I realized after the episode was over that I forgot it. So this was last month, I think, technically. I watched Tales from the Crypt, Bordello of Blood. Now, I'm a big Tales from the Crypt fan. I remember watching this movie as a kid and not liking it, or not thinking it was as great as Demon Knight. But I was like, it's almost Halloween time. I saw it for $5 at Walmart. $5 was too much for that movie. basically, the story is Dennis Miller is a private detective, or PI, or whatever. Private investigator. Pervert. There we go.
Isn't he a pervert?
Yeah, he sure is. He's a pervert. He's just a pervert.
He's a pervert eye.
Private dick. But he, Corey Feldman and his friend, like they go missing because they end up hanging out at this... going to this brothel that has vampires in it. Well, there's pretty much the whole movie. but it's not good, man. It's not fucking good. Yeah, so, you know, there's vampires. There's a lot of boobs because it's a brothel. So you get to see boobs, I guess, if that's the reason. But, that's not a reason to watch a movie. But this is how shitty the movie was.
I didn't think all brothels had nudity, though.
Brothels?
What am I thinking of?
Bordello. I don't know.
Yeah, you said brothel. Bordello.
It's the type of brothel that is a bordello. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But, like, there's one part where Dennis Miller goes into this place to spy on the head vampire. He doesn't know she's a vampire yet. And she's sniffing around. And, like, he's like, oh, my God, she can smell me. I think he doesn't know she's a vampire. Otherwise, humans can't smell like that well. But she's like, sniff, sniff, sniff. And then she lifts her armpit. She's like, ew. And then walks away. I'm like, that was the fucking joke? The vampire has BO? That's the joke?
They probably smell like dead people, so...
Yeah, how does she not know that? That's the ancient vampire that's been around forever. It's fucking... It's a bad joke. It's a dumb movie. Don't watch it. I gave it a 3. I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Okay, so the first movie I watched, and then after I watched it, you watched it.
I did.
And that's The Purge, Election Year...
Yeah.
Which is the third one in the series. I just looked it up. October 2014.
That was four...
Was when I watched Anarchy, which is the second one.
Okay.
So
I think I watched it with you, so...
Yeah, so if you want to see our thoughts on the second movie. the third movie takes place after that movie. So...
Yeah, the whole time frame, I'm not sure what time frame
it is. Yeah, I don't know how much time frame is in between each movie.
Because at the very beginning, it shows her young, and then it's just like, oh, 10 years later or whatever.
Yeah, but The Purge has been going around for a while.
Yeah.
So the whole concept of The Purge is that one day a year, you can do whatever crimes you want, and there will be no consequences.
Get out of your system.
Get out of your system, and everything will be great. But then in the second movie, you find out that, hey, this is just a way to get rid of poor people.
Yeah.
Because they can't defend themselves, and the rich people can afford security. So a lot of people are getting pissed, and this one lady is deciding to run for public office. And,
well, she's already public office. I think she's running to be president.
Okay, president. I don't remember.
I think she's a senator or governor of some sort.
Yeah. So she's already a politician, but she's running to get the head... office job, whether it's a president or a senate or whatever. But her thing that she's running behind is that she's going to get rid of the purge.
Yeah.
Like, so if she wins, she's going to pass. She has to be president because she's going to do an executive order.
Yeah.
To get rid of the purge. She says it's horrible, blah, 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 because all these things happen. And then the other people that she's running against get pissed, and they say, now you can go after elected officials, because before you, those people were off limits. And she is like, I am not going to leave. I'm going to...
Well, yeah, she wasn't going to go into like a bunker and
hide.
Yeah,
a bunker, and she's like, wants to be like everybody else. So she has security and things like that, and bad shit happens. She ends up having to leave the house, and now she's on the streets, and there's a bunch of people who are like, we believe in you, we're going to help you. And then there's another guy with a convenience store that he's trying to protect because his insurance went through the roof for purge insurance, and yeah. The only way he can save his store is by protecting it. It's interesting for the Purge series. As the first one, you can tell it was like trying something they wanted to try as a movie, because it takes place entirely inside.
Yeah.
And then the second one's like, this is what the streets are like. And you're like, holy shit. And then this one just like adds on to that.
This is what people are dealing with that, right, like, don't believe
so
in
like
this.
I feel like each movie is just getting better and better as they come out. So I'm excited to see what the next one's like next year. But this one I gave a 9. I thought it was really good.
I didn't check to see what I gave the other two, but I gave it a 7.
Well,
and a
the
half.
First one I wasn't on my list, so it was before we started the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because 2014 was the first year we did this.
Oh yeah, I feel like I watched them both at the same time.
Yeah, I didn't. Oh.
But I gave it a 7.
Well, you might have watched it after me. No, I don't know. I don't have the first one, so the second one I gave 8.5.
I gave it a 7.5. It was good. Yeah. Also, I wrote down Apollo Bar. Because the main lady who plays the presidential candidate is Elizabeth Mitchell. She played Juliet on Lost, and I remember seeing the Apollo Bar was like a candy bar they had on Lost and a bunch of other TV shows and stuff. And I was like, oh, fun. That's all. But yeah, I gave it a 7.5. The next movie I watched on my collection was some sequels. So I'll kind of string those together. Because I watched the Psycho quite a few years ago. I didn't plan this for when I watched it. But the Psycho movie Psycho, I mean, is awesome. Good Alfred Hitchcock movie. But I decided to buy the sequel 3-pack because what could they do with the sequels for Psycho? So I watched Psycho 2.
I watched Psycho August 2015.
I think I don't remember.
So I have a synopsis of that movie.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I watched it before that because I watched it
August 2015 is when I watched Psycho because I had the Alfred Hitchcock.
And I watched it the year before because it was in the top 52 best movies of all time.
Yeah.
But so Psycho 2, this is gonna spoil Psycho if you've never seen it. But like,
it's hard to set up the sequel. If
yeah. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. But because Norman Bates kills a woman, and that's like one of the main, like the most influential scenes in the movie. It's like when he stabs her to death in a shower. But at the end of the movie, you find out, oh, Norman Bates isn't all there. He isn't very sane. He's a psycho, as they say in the movie business.
As people say.
But the sequel takes place, I want to say, 10 or 20 years later. And he gets out of the mental institute that he's in because they consider him sane again. So he moves back into his house. And he starts working at this small diner down the street. Fixing up the hotel and stuff. But then he starts seeing his mother in the house again. And he starts hearing her voice, and she's calling him on the phone. And he's like, no, this is, I'm not crazy. This is really happening. Like, I can't be crazy. And then he's also he ends up talking to quite a few different people, like the girl that he starts making friends with, this younger girl who's working at the diner, stuff like that. And she stays at his house, and he's like freaking out, like, oh my god, I can't kill her. I'm not crazy. All this other stuff. And I don't want to really. I'm not gonna spoil the information because like this is probably my favorite sequel of the Psycho movies. It actually was pretty good.
I heard the guy who did the sequel. He's like, holy shit, I got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
So he just says, I'm not going to try to compete with the first one. I'm going to just make a good movie.
Yeah.
And so he just tried to make a good movie based on the characters that were already established.
And I liked it. I liked it. I gave it a 7.5. And again, something happens. A woman dies at the end of the second movie. And I'm not going to tell you exactly what the deals with her, but it's kind of like, holy shit, that's a crazy information bomb to drop. But anyways, that happens at the end. And then the third Psycho movie kind of picks up right where two left off. And Anthony Perkins, the guy who plays Norman Bates, he directed this one. And I don't know if he's ever directed it before or not, but it was, I don't know, it was all right. This one was a little weird because there was this... this nun who tries, like, the very beginning of the movie, this nun tries killing herself, and, like, oh, nun, don't do that. So she has to, like, run away from the nunnery or the nun house. What is it called?
The Habit.
Habit. She runs off, and this guy picks her up, and he's, like, really, like, this crazy sex deviant kind of guy who's, like, trying to hit on her, and she's like, no. And she ends up running away, and she finds her way onto the property of the Bates Motel. And Norman Bates kind of loses his shit because this woman looks just like the woman from the first movie that he kills. And he's like, I could love her. She could be my wife. Because after what happened in the previous movie, he suddenly thinks he's crazy again. And at this point, his hotels actually started to get up and running again. And then the guy who picked up the nun, the hitchhiker, he pulls into the place. He's like, hey, I need a job. And he's like, sure, you can help me run my hotel. And it just kind of gets weird from there. Like, it has, there's some, like, sort of comedic moments in a weird kind of way, but, like, a dark comedic thing happening because, like, people start dying left and right. And it, I don't know, it's really odd. It wasn't as good as 2, so I gave it a 6. The notes I wrote on it was none and party, because there's a point where, like, there's a party next door and everyone's like, oh, where'd Michelle go? Oh, she's doing this, whatever. And he's, like, just murdering her and stuff. It's fucking weird. Also, at the same time, there's also a lady who, the old woman, oh, sorry, the woman that dies at the end of 2, her friend is trying to, or someone is trying to uncover and prove that Norman Bates killed her. And so, like, that whole, this whole party and these hitchhikers and stuff is going on. This lady's intervening and trying to, like, prove that Norman Bates is a murderer. It's all crazy. And then Psycho 4 is, like, the prequel to Psycho. Norman Bates is, like, out of prison and all sorts of stuff. And he's just, like, at home making dinner because it's his birthday. And he's listening to this radio show, and it's like a one of those coast to coast talking radio, like calling radio shows, and it's the lady from Carmen Sandiego, the host of the game show. She's like the DJ on the radio, and they're talking about. Then they have a psychiatrist on there, and they're talking about the specific topic of that night is people who murder their mothers. So Norman Bates is like, I want to call in. So he calls into the show, and he's just kind of talking about random stuff. He's like, oh, what's your name? Call me this. I can't remember what name he gave. He just gave some, like, fake name, like, whatever. Like, call me Chad or whatever, or Ryan or whatever. So, like, and then it says, talking about all these things about his first time, when he killed his mother, and all these times, like, his first time killing people and all this other stuff. And, like, holy shit. But then he drops a few clues here and there, and they're, like, off air, they're like, I think this is Norman Bates. I think because he talked about a hotel and this, like, I think you're talking to Norman Bates. Like, no. Like, you're jumping to conclusions. Like, can you imagine how amazing this would be if we had Norman Bates on the phone? Our ratings go through the roof. But then he starts talking about how, like, this, like, he's like, well, I have to kill again tonight. And, like, why? So they're trying to figure out, like, what is going on in the meantime. Like, he's telling stories of, like, when he was young and what kind of relationship he had with his mother and stuff like that. And boy, oh boy, I watched Bates Motel the first, like, season and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother's kind of, like, has a weird, like, sexual tension with her son. And she's kind of a bitch a little bit. But, like, this movie, like, Norma Bates is fucking nuts. Like, no wonder Norman turned into what he became. It's like, holy shit. Like, because, yeah, it's... but it was a decent movie. Unfortunately, like, again, with one of those things where it's like, hey, here's how this started, and you know how it's going to end because he ends up killing his mother, because that's the whole aspect of the Psycho franchise. So it's like, it's coming to an ending of, like, you know the ending's going to be. So it kind of was like, it felt like a filler movie to me, even though it was, like, stuff we didn't kind of know. And, of course, there's other aspects to that, too. But I don't want to get too deep into it because some of the cool stuff is, it's like revealed slowly as like important information. So I don't want to say, oh yeah, this. And people go, oh, well, that doesn't interest me anymore. But yeah, I gave it a 6. So Psycho 2 was a 7.5, and then, 3 and 4 both gave 6s too.
So there was a movie called Bates Motel.
Yeah.
And I was just looking it up. Apparently it takes place after Norman Bates has died. And someone else takes over the hotel. Oh,
okay. So it has nothing to do with Anthony Perkins at all.
No. But anyway.
Because, yeah, Anthony Perkins plays Norman Bates in all 4 movies. So that's kind of cool because... So
he might be in it, but if he is, because it says inherits...
What year was it? Did it come out?
89, so a year before. Okay. Or 87. It came out before that 4th one.
Oh, okay. Because I was saying, like, I want to say Norman... I want to say Anthony Perkins died in the 90s? Mid-90s? Early 90s?
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to say 92.
The late 80s are the sequels, and then
yeah.
I think 4 said 90.
Also, yeah, it was just Psycho 2, Psycho 3, and then Psycho 4 was called Psycho 4, The Beginning. So.
Sold!
Sold. Just a picture of the Bates house, and just says sold across the top.
That's the Bates Motel. Okay, so
that's not even the hotel.
I watched, yeah, it's the house. It's the house, yeah. But it's part of it.
Yeah. Up the hill.
It's sort of the same property. So I watched a movie called Krampus. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Krampus, yeah.
Krampus. So.
Krampus.
Krampus. I didn't think it was going to be that good. And I was kind of right. In case you don't know what Krampus is, it is a horror movie that takes place at Christmas time.
Yes.
So, the movie starts that the main character, I can't remember.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott's family, their relatives come to their house for Christmas, and their relatives are just annoying and assholes, and they're like, oh, this fucking sucks. And
typical Christmas.
And everyone's like, da, 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 da. And the old grandmother is like, this isn't how Christmases are supposed to be. They're supposed to be happy, and, you know.
She says that quietly?
Well, she speaks in different language.
Oh, I was just imagining, so. Like, I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Please. Well, she doesn't physically say that stuff.
Oh, but, they're just, like, just whispering it under everyone's
but
argument.
They have Christmas music playing with a montage of people fighting in stores and doing shitty stuff during Christmas time and basically telling you the spirit of Christmas is kind of, like, dead.
Yeah.
So Krampus is a fake Santa Claus who comes and basically kills people. Because they're not being nice during the Christmas season.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, the asshole family comes to visit.
Asshole family.
That's what I wrote. The daughter, Adam Scott's daughter, goes next door to her boyfriend's house.
Next door.
Or down the street. But oh yeah. I was like, convenient. When they started fighting and stuff, a blizzard happened. So like you couldn't see the house next door. And she goes out. And no one saw her, so they go out to look for her, and crazy shit starts happening. And then this creature comes down the chimney, and she keeps lighting the fire so nothing can come down the chimney. Because she knows all about Krampus.
Yeah.
Because she saw him when she was a little kid and all this, and... It's dumb. Somehow, so the toys that Krampus leaves, there's like a teddy bear that has like teeth, like evil teddy bear trying to kill people. There's a Jack in a Box who starts swallowing a person.
Oh,
like for nightmare? Gingerbread cookies go running around and they start trying to stab people.
Okay,
it gets really crazy. And this may be a bit of a spoiler, but when you see Krampus's face, it's like he was wearing a Santa mask, like a shriveled up skin face of Santa Claus.
Like he killed Santa?
Yeah, but he's got giant hoof feet, and he's got hooves that he stands on his back legs. And I'm not going to give the spoiler of the movie, because the way it ends is kind of fucking stupid.
Santa Claus is Regis Philbin.
But the thing that made me mad about this whole movie is this grandma knew that this could happen and waited until the last fucking minute to tell the family about Krampus, and then by then it's too late because it's already happening. Like,
yeah,
you knew this the whole time. You could have stopped this years ago.
Oh, so yeah, that feels like a story you would tell your family like at every year on Christmas, right, after it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, because her whole family gets killed because of, and she's the only one who survives, so now she's left alive to spread the story. She's but she shitty. Didn't fucking spread it until he was already attacking people.
So she's shitty at spreading stories.
Yeah. I gave it a 5 because there were parts that were kind of cool, but as a whole, it wasn't worth watching.
You showed me the trailer, and you're like, the trailer does look a lot better than the movie.
It does. And I don't know if you guys watched 2.5 Men, whoever watched this, listened to this podcast, but the stupid, I don't want to, I'm going to be offensive. The fat, annoying lady who takes care of the elderly retarded guys in that show. I'm ripping on 2.5 Men.
Elderly.
Well, she's like a live-in nanny or something.
Yeah.
And they're adults. They should be able to take care of themselves. But anyway, I think she's the worst part of Krampus because she's got to say the stupid, hey, kids, drink this. It's booze. Here, you have candy. And like says like stupid things. And it's supposed to be funny. She's like, I hate kids, but yours are okay. You know, that kind of shit. It's like, fuck you.
I want to see a movie where a character literally goes in and goes, kids, go drink booze,
It would be better than that.
Also, I think she's more of like a, I don't think she's a, like a nanny, like raising them. I think she's like a maid or something. Well,
she gives them wise advice and shit like that. So.
Eat candy.
Yeah, so I gave that a 5. The next movie I watched was The Strangers.
I saw it many years ago.
So whenever I ask people what horror movies I should watch, that one keeps popping up.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, so I decided to watch it. Actually, I'm going to give this a higher score than I gave it.
You gave it a 2.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, I didn't.
I can't see. I can't see your computer. I
can't see my computer.
Not this angle.
So the movie Strangers.
And actually, when you started watching it, I sat down just to watch the beginning part because I like the beginning part a lot.
Yeah. So the two main characters are coming from a wedding and they're basically not speaking to each other in the car.
Yeah.
Like something didn't happen that went well. And it gets to the house, and every once in a while you see flashbacks of the wedding and you see that he proposed to her. And then it cuts back to present time, and you're like, oh, shit. And they get in the house, and there's, like, rose petals everywhere, candles lit, like, super romantic. And it's, like, they're both not in that mood now. So it's the way they captured atmosphere in this movie was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't, I forgot why he left. He left to go get something.
He went to get cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, he left to go get cigarettes. And Liv Tyler is the main actress in this. So she's in the house by herself, and she's, like, washing up and stuff, and in the background you see somebody walk by, or just standing there. They're just standing there, and then she's, like, goes and looks, and he's gone. But there was no music escalation or anything.
Yes.
It's just, like, the skin crawls, like, goose pimple stuff, like, oh, my God.
That's the good shit of horror.
So, and then through this movie, she's like, there's someone in this house. And when the boyfriend comes back, he's like, no, there isn't. I'm like, yeah. And then eventually he starts seeing stuff.
Well, yeah, I think, like, at one point, like, when she finally hears a noise, she goes, maybe I'll finally lock and shut all the goddamn doors and windows.
Yeah, by then it's too late.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give too much of this movie away, because there is a couple scenes I'm like, oh, fuck, no.
Like Dennis from Sunny.
Sunny's in it. Yeah, that scene. I was like, no!
I don't know, but like for me, when that moment happened, like once that character came in, I was like, the whole movie aspect changed for me.
Yeah, but I felt like, yeah, the whole atmosphere in the movie, I loved it. The way they did camera shots and the way they framed things. I thought, this is how horror movies should be made.
Okay, like the bag?
This is how horror movies should be made. I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8. Yeah. Even the even the cheesy horror movie ending.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it.
Especially since the way it kind of starts, you're like not like yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically this guy breaks into her house and
fucks with them.
Fucks with them. You don't know what his end goal is until the end of the movie.
Which is why it's called an end goal.
Yep. No, it's not.
Endgame.
Endgame. Oh, he's trying to get that from under the bag.
Oh, cat. All right. The next movie I watched, again, it was a box set, and I didn't finish it. I was going to plan on finishing it for October because I was going to try to watch only horror movies this month, and it didn't work. But there's a box set when I bought it when Mega Media Exchange was going out of business in town, and I was like, oh, I'll check these out. I like Asian horror movies. And it's a box set called I'm going to pronounce this wrong.
I think it's Tommy. Tommy.
Well, I tried like listening, and they pronounce it Tomie. Tomie. They gave it like way too many syllables. Like Tomie. It's T-O-M-E-I. Or an I-E. I don't remember. I wrote it both ways.
So I watched them before we started the podcast.
Yeah, oh yeah, you watched them many, many years ago.
I didn't see them all. I just saw some of them, and I couldn't tell you which one was which.
Dude, after watching 4 of them, I couldn't tell you which one's which. That's why I wrote notes down, and I still am like, which one was this? Basically, so I'm going to blow through these kind of fast, because
they're all one movie.
They feel... it kind of is. So there's this woman who... I shouldn't say woman. She's younger. She's like in high school. And they say that it dates way back to the Meiji era, which I had to look to see when that was. Late 1800s. M-E-J-I.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Meiji, whatever. I want to say like late 1800s. But people say she goes back to that time, like, of being around. I swear to God, Kat. It's a girl.
1860 through 1912.
Fucking nailed it.
That's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, I said 1800s.
It's like the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Well, it's an era.
Yeah.
It's like the Dark Ages, but not.
Started October 23rd, 1868 to July 30th, 1912.
October?
They know exactly by the month. That's
weird. It probably had something to do with like someone coming into power or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Emperor Meiji, whatever it's pronounced.
All right. But anyways, so this girl named Tomie... She has this effect on guys where they fall in love with her. And they get super, super jealous where they'll start murdering each other over her. And or... Well, actually, I should say and or because it's not or. But no matter what happens, the guy will be so... He'll be so in love with her that he'll end up killing her.
Oh, yeah.
And then she comes back to life.
Mm-hmm. She's like Hawkman.
Yeah, sure. Because people love Hawkman. So basically, that's the gist of what they tell you immediately. And then you go into a whole story
And this is a story where that happens.
Yep, and here's a story where that happens. The notes I wrote down for the first movie was... there's a girl who had an accident of some sort. And she can't remember much about what the accident... So she's constantly going to therapy over and over and over again, and like they're trying to uncover what she doesn't, the part of the memory she doesn't remember. And it turns out that her and her boyfriend met this girl named Tomie. The boy went after Tomie, and then they both conspired to kill her. Behind
how many are in your box set?
5.
Oh, there's 9 of them.
Oh, I don't know, 7 of them. Jesus.
2011 was the newest one.
Beginnings, or
Unlimited.
Oh shit. Well. Anyways, yeah, so like they uncover the memories and they realize, oh, she's a
the first class 99. Wow.
Yeah, it's like 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. Wow.
like 99, two of them came out in 99. One came out 2000, 2001, 2002, 2005, 2005, 2007,
2011.
Jesus. Yeah. They had two in a year.
So anyways, that basically like the story of it, but the girl has a missing memory. So that's the aspect of it that I remembered. Ironic. I gave it a 5.5 because it was all right. The second one, Tomie, Another Face.
That's when I saw.
This one, yeah, because you remember you were talking. This movie was split up into three parts. The first part was, again, about a girl and her boyfriend, and they kill Tomie. The second part of the movie,
it was a TV series, and then they combined them into make a movie.
That makes sense. But then also there's a guy with an eye patch that's like watching them every once in a while. Then part two of the movie, there's a guy who's a photographer, and he saw this girl when he was young. He's like, oh, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I want to take her picture. And then he's like, oh, I need to take a break from this, but I want to search for this woman. And he sees Tomie, and he's like, oh, you're just as beautiful as the woman I saw all those years ago. Can I take your picture? And he spends all day with her taking pictures of her. This is a half an hour of the movie. And then things don't go well for him. And then the third part, he also gets attacked by the, or followed by the eye, that man with the eye patch. And then the third part, you find out who the eye patch man is, and he kind of tells the story. Because there's this couple, there's this guy who's in love with Tomie, and he's like trying to tell the eye patch man, he's like, oh, she's evil, you gotta trust me, we have to try to kill her, but since she always comes back to life, and this is where he drops the bomb of saying, every time you kill her, another one comes up. So if you cut her in half, then there's two Tomies. So there's tons of them all over the place, and every fucking person that plays her is a different actress in each movie to prove that there are a lot of Tomies out there. That movie wasn't that great. But like you said, it makes sense because it's a series, because it looks like it was shot with a soap opera camera. So I gave it a 5. The third one, Tomie Replay.
I saw that one too.
That one is so far the best one out of the box set. Because there's a guy in the hospital, and he's hanging out with his friend who had an operation. They don't really specify what it was, but then the doctors are doing experiments, and they did this experiment on this girl, and there was something bulging out of her stomach. They cut it open, and Tomie came out of her stomach, like a full human being came out of the stomach. And then after that, all the doctors like started disappearing, and you're like, oh, this is a weird, like, what happened? And you kind of follow, because then you meet a girl whose dad is one of the doctors he's missing, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And like, this is a cool start to a movie. And then it kind of drags on and on and on. But like I said, that was the best one. I tried taking notes, and I couldn't, like, you'd do a better job of reading the mm-hmm. Wikipedia articles than watching the movies. But I gave this one a 6 because it had me intrigued at numerous points. And then the last one, I still have one left in the box set that I didn't watch. I was going to watch it, but the next one I watched was Tomie Rebirth.
Rebirth. Okay, so the last one you probably got is Forbidden Fruit.
I believe so, yes.
I saw that one.
Tomie Rebirth, again, all of them
this
are...
This one is called Tomie versus Tomie.
That's awesome. there's also a comic book that came out.
Well, this whole series is based on the manga.
Oh, okay.
So the manga came out first, and then they made the movies based on the manga. And some of them even say, based on the manga series, blah, blah, blah. Like, all right. So, like, the stories are from the actual comic.
I gotcha. But, anyways, Tomie Rebirth, once again, a guy, he's dating this girl, and he's painting a picture of her. I just remember I wrote painting down, because that's a small aspect of it. And he's painting a picture of her. And for no fucking reason, she just starts bad-mouthing him. So he takes his, painting stuff.
Yeah.
One of those, like, sharp knife things.
Oh, the...
Oh, my pellets, God. Pellet scraper or something? Yeah, something whatever. Like just murders her, and a bunch of her blood splashes on the painting. And then he uses her blood to finish the painting. I thought that was a nice, demented part of it.
Mixes her blood with the pigments.
Yeah, he mixes her blood, the pigments.
Yeah, it doesn't say what that thing's called. I know what you're talking about. I just call it a scraper.
Yeah.
Or it's like...
It was almost like, a trowel, kind of, in the movie. It was like a small trowel. Not trowel. Whatever you spread mortar on.
Trowel is the little shovel.
Yeah, whatever. The
flat thing, yeah.
Yeah, you splat, yeah. Anyways, this is the least important part of the movie. But then also at the same time, though, this brought in an aspect that none of the other movies really touched on, was where the guy that was dating her, his mom's like, who is this girl? I don't like her. This and this and this and whatever. And I just wrote down lipstick because at one point, Tomie was like, I really like this shade of lipstick. So then she put it on. And then later after she was murdered, the girl, like, Tomie gave it to the guy's girlfriend and she put it on and she started changing into Tomie. Don't ask me how that works, but I gave that one a 5. So Tomie 1 was a 5.5, 2 was a 5, 3 was a 6, 4 was a 5. And then the fifth one I haven't watched yet. And it's still upstairs just waiting to be watched.
That's fucking broken.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so the next one I saw in the theater.
I watched it with you too then.
But I just want to preface this. Okay, so Scott and I joined this thing called MoviePass.
MoviePass?
This is not a sold product placement. It's just a way to explain.
It's also not a sponsor, which they should sponsor us.
I know, we could have a sponsor if this podcast did well.
Yeah.
Anyway, MoviePass is a thing. You go to MoviePass.com. It's $10 a month.
Yeah.
And you can see a movie in the theater every day, but one a day. No 3D or no super screens. No ultra screen.
One thing, though, as of right now, it's November 2017.
Yeah.
Currently, I'm not saying in the future it might change, but currently it is.
I would be surprised if it didn't go up.
Yeah. Currently it is $10 a month. If you listen to this in like 2018, who knows?
Right. So we're like, oh, that's cheaper than seeing one movie because the movie's like $11 now. But we signed up for it and we got it in time to see Happy Death Day premiere.
Yep.
So we are going to have some fairly current new movies in these podcasts now.
A lot more than before.
Yeah, because now we're just like, if we have any little urge to see it, we'll probably see it because it's technically free as long as we've seen a movie before in that month.
Yeah.
So, so the first movie we watched was a movie called Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
It is basically Groundhog Day mixed with your generic horror.
Like a Friday the 13th or Halloween or whatever. Right.
So this girl, it's her birthday, like it's the ringtone says.
It's birthday, pick up the phone.
And her birthday, you find out that she's in a sorority and she's a complete bitch to everybody.
Because she's in a sorority.
And you're like, oh yeah, this girl deserves to die.
Jesus.
At the beginning of the movie. But as the movie progresses, at the end of the day, she gets killed and then wakes up and her day starts over. And then she's like, well, I'm not going that way again, like down the path. And then she gets killed again. And then she realizes that she's going to keep dying until she stops it. So then the rest of the movie, she's trying to figure out who's killing her so she can wake up the next day. There were a lot of shit given away in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the good stuff in this movie was in the trailer.
There are a lot of cool deaths.
There was a lot of cool deaths. I was under, like, if this was me as a person, if I started seeing this trend, the first thing I would do is take a self-defense course. Then I could disarm that killer and it'd be done. Because the first death, it just comes after with a knife. And that's like the first thing you learn in self-defense is how to disarm a person with a knife. And she probably would have survived.
I think the second or third day that she was alive, she's like, I'm going to just lock myself in my room and not let anyone come in to talk to me. I'm like, and I don't remember how that panned out, why she left the room, but I'm like,
no, because she basically locked herself in the room and the killer was in there.
Oh yeah. That's right.
They were hiding in the closet. Oops. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. Yeah, so then she basically locked herself in the room with the killer. Yeah. That didn't work out very well. But, yeah, I thought it was a decent movie.
Yeah, it was fine.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I'm surprised a movie like this hasn't come out already.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it because I like Groundhog Day and the thought of being stuck in the same day over and over is an intriguing premise for me. I would like to see more movies in that premise. Whether it's a romantic comedy or whatever.
I don't know.
This stupid.
There's a lot of aspects in those types of movies, though, where you're like, it's the first day, and you see everything.
Yeah,
like
you do out. See a lot. Some of those background characters, I wonder if they taped it once or if they had to do that line like a million times.
Yeah. But like there's always that, yeah, the aspect where like you see, you point out, like you see all these things and go, oh, she's going to reference this later. And the second day, they go, oh, this. And then, you know, every time there's always like one aspect that she goes, you don't believe me? Check this out. This happens.
Yeah.
This happens. And like, I'm like so done with 20% of the movie before I get into it.
Yeah.
So I know all these aspects. And, yeah.
But the same thing happens to movies where you're following one person and then they change it and now you're following a different person and it's the same situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just seeing it from a different angle. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That stuff happens too. Like, yep, I know what's going to happen at the end of this because I saw it from the other person's point of view. But, I mean, I gave... Where is this? Did I give it...
A 10? You gave it a solid 10, Jason.
I gave it an 8.
Did you?
I gave it an 8.
Wow.
I liked it. I thought it was enjoyable.
I gave it a 6.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent movie. I'm not saying it's the best movie ever, but I enjoyed it as I was watching. I got mad at one point, but then it redeemed itself, so then I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of a...
Yeah, I gave it an 8. I thought it was
all right. Oh, God, I get it. I have to figure out which one's like 1, 2... the next movie I watched was
the next one I watched is with you.
Yeah, let's talk about this.
This is the part that some people were excited to hear us talk about.
Abby.
Yeah, we saw the movie The Snowman.
Yep.
Okay, so we watched the trailer.
Yeah.
And the trailer looked really good. I wouldn't say amazing.
It looked decent.
But it looked like a good movie.
Yeah.
We started hearing people say that the reviews are bad. But I agree that a lot of reviews out there are stupid and should be ignored.
And then we found out who the director was.
Yeah, and we found out the director who did this was the same person that did...
Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In, which was a very good... Was it Swedish? Region?
Probably the same country this fucking movie takes place in.
I want to say Norway. Let's say Norway. Yeah, because that was a really good movie. They adapted it here in America, and the remake was decent. I thought both versions were really good. Did I watch those movies on this podcast?
I watched one last year.
Hang on.
It was
Sorry,
good.
I'm slowing it down.
I think I watched both of them, but...
It starts with an L.
Let the Right One In and Let Me In was the other one.
Let's Be Cops.
Sweden.
So, Sweden. Close.
He's Swedish.
They're, like, next to each other.
They're, yeah, Europe.
No, but aren't they the both the...
Dude, I failed geography twice.
The two balls?
The balls?
Or two penises? Look like two penises
what?
Touching?
I gotta see what this looks like. Not two penises touching.
This is their, like, northeastern... They're, like, both peninsula countries that are connected.
All right.
Take
a look.
I'm probably way off.
Yeah,
I was totally right.
Yeah.
What's the scrot?
It looks like a bisected dick and balls.
See, I'm not going crazy. So The Snowman.
He's just coming right out of Finland.
The Snowman is not a horror movie. I want to point that out. Some people are like, oh, were you mad because you thought it was a horror movie? I did not think it was a horror movie.
No.
I thought it was a crime drama.
I thought it was a detective.
Where they're trying to figure out who's killing these people, which... It is.
Once again, though, IMDb has it marked as crime drama horror.
Yeah.
Which, crime drama, yeah.
It is a crime
Maybe
drama.
Maybe I would have said crime drama thriller.
Yeah, it's more of a thriller, and that's what some horror movies are. But,
yeah.
So, right at the beginning, you see this little kid and his mom and uncle, and right away you know that this kid grows up to be the killer.
Yeah, you know.
But you don't know who he is. But you just see what he went through, and you're like, okay. Right at the beginning, I was intrigued. I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. This is good. But then something happened. The movie lost its way right away.
It tried being like even like with the just the saying, hey, here's the backstory for the killer.
Mm-hmm.
they tried making it seem too dramatic. We were like, why wouldn't they just open the door and do this? And it's like,
So then you jump to present day, where you follow Harry Hole.
Harry Hole.
I don't know why you would ever name somebody that as not a joke. But he's an alcoholic loser detective that no one likes. He is in charge of basically serial killers.
Yeah.
Trying to find serial killers. And Sweden? Is that what he said?
Oh, that's where the director's from. I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
So in their police department branch, whatever, there hasn't been serial killers, so he hasn't been doing anything. So he just gets drunk. And
he can't sleep either.
So then he just follows people around that are other cops to hopefully find something. And they stumble across this killer who is killing mothers who have fights with their with the fathers.
No, it's women.
Well, it's their husbands. Women get killed who are mothers because they have a kid.
Yes.
And their marriage is falling apart.
Also, the fact that the kids...
So if you consider those clues, everyone, like all the posters and trailers say, oh, you must find clues. There's no clues in this.
Well,
it's just someone gets killed. Well, they go missing.
Yeah.
And then later they find the parts.
But the main clue that he kind of works off of is the fact that the kids... The mother has a kid, and the kid... the father isn't the husband.
Okay. Yeah, but so that's apparently the clues, which doesn't help you find the killer because at all.
Like,
you just go, oh, so these are the kind of people they're killing. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
So you don't even know who they're going to go after next.
Yeah.
It could be anyone.
The one case, they're like, oh, they went to a doctor. Oh, they did this. Like, oh, he's like, I don't know this. I do know this.
Yeah,
I'm a flip-flopping father.
Yeah, like one of them, you're just like, huh, she didn't have a kid. Oh, she had an abortion. So she kind of did. It's like... Oh my God, you're grasping at straws to find connections between these.
Oh, she's pregnant right now, but she's not. You don't know because it's still the first trimester.
Right. So there's a lot of stupid shit. Some of the shots looked cool, but it didn't fit the tone of the movie. Like, I mean, it's a beautiful country they shot in. So you see nice mountains and landscape and stuff, but it doesn't fit the movie. There's a lot of jumping around. It keep going back to the past. Was it... 20 years? Like, 10? 9 years.
I think I want to say 9 years.
9 years.
We'll talk about Val Kilmer later because it's a very big button to push. But there's one part like where he, like his character, I don't fucking know what this character's problem was, but there's one point where he...
Are you talking about Fassbender?
No, like Val Kilmer's character.
Oh.
It was just like one of those shots that like he went out of, like he climbed out of the police station and was like
he's
on
an
the
alcoholic.
Roof. Yeah, he climbed out because he didn't want to go past the people in the other room, so he went out and he's like... Put his hands out, and he's like standing on the building, and it was like the helicopter shot circling. I'm like, this feels like it should be like a YouTube music video or something, like not this drama movie. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
And the way he talked.
Yeah. I guess we'll jump into Val Kilmer's
character.
Well,
you're the one, you kept going. So I thought you were bringing it back, but then you just kept going.
No, I was just saying, like, the fact that that character, like, just his choice of character, but like, you're talking about the shots, the shot of him standing on top of the thing, like, you're making this, like, again, too dramatic for what you're trying to show right now.
So 9 years later, Val Kilmer was a detective who was trying to find a serial killer who's doing very similar to what's happening with this killer now. But he got too close and got killed.
Yeah. But they all assume...
His, like, everyone thought he killed himself. But his delivery of lines is so bad... It's comedic.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only part of the movie. Like, there's people who go, I like watching bad movies. This is not one of those.
No.
This is, go watch Geostorm, because that's probably a bad movie. I didn't see that one. But that one's probably so bad you will enjoy it. This one, I was just getting angry watching it. Like, this has to redeem itself, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't. By the time you get to the end, you're like, this is going to happen. And it did.
Yeah.
And it's not... It's not, there's no, I want to say thickness. There's like nothing.
Consistency.
There's nothing to it.
Substance.
There's no substance. There's nothing connecting this point to this point. I mean, maybe that's the point to make it more realistic. But half the shit doesn't make sense. Why is Snowman that looks stupid? Why is he cutting arms off of people?
Yeah, that part, like, I don't understand.
There's like one part where his head gets blown off, he puts a snowman head on it.
And they use that for tons of visuals.
And they used one part where they put a human head on a snowman. That's it. The rest of it are just stupid snowmen that are staring at windows.
Two balls high.
Yeah.
They're two ball high snowmen.
Yeah, it's so like half a snowman.
The fucking part where, like, where Harry Hole's walking past the snowman, he's like, he does a double take. He's like, oh my God, it's a snowman. Oh, it has two body parts and a head part, so it's three. And then as he walks away, the camera pans around and you see the fucking coffee bean eyes and mouth on the two bottom balls.
In the middle one. Yeah.
You're like, fuck you. Oh, you got us.
Someone put a new head on top of the stupid snowman.
It just made it seem so stupid. Like again, like, hey. Oh, ooh, spooky. It's okay, spooky.
So I want to go back.
Fuck.
So we got Fassbender,
yeah.
Val Kilmer, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Like three, in my case, big actors. They all agreed to do this. And Simmons' character is pointless in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know what he did.
There was a couple storylines where you're like, why is this in this movie? This has nothing to do with anything. And then there's other things like, why didn't you elaborate on that? It's based on a book, so I feel like they pick and choose scenes that are like, we should shoot this scene. We should shoot this scene. Oh, J.K. Simmons would be great for this role. Do we need it in the movie? No, but it'll be cool. Let's do it. All right. And there's like a bunch of different, I don't know, man. It just made me angry because as I was watching it, I did not want to believe the bad comments, like the bad reviews.
Like, I can't. The sad thing is, like, it takes a while for me to strain my brain. I can see small points of the J.K. Simmons story that goes, okay, at least this kind of makes sense. Like, it's tied to this, right. But only through a back door.
But then there's, like, parts you want to know more about that have nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that, take that story part and make a whole movie on that, and that would be a little more interesting.
Well, because, like, I was like, this won't make sense for people listening. And not spoilerly, but like the whole thing with the women,
right?
And like, and then it explains like, oh, they're being used for this, and the fact that he's going after women with illegitimate children.
Yeah.
So that's like a tie to it, kind of. That's, so it's kind of like a lead, but yeah. It's they spend way too much time on it.
But we were sitting in the lounge chairs, so it's like we were sitting in comfortable seats, and I still didn't want to be there.
There were certain aspects to it that I liked, like, not to reference a movie we just saw the night. Now we're not going to talk about this month, but like in Thor, we just watched the Thor movie. There are certain points in Snowman. I'm like, this is a decent scene, but then they fucking bookend it with garbage.
Yeah,
there's
no redeeming scenes.
Like there's certain, like if you just took clips, I think that's why the trailer worked, because they said, here's a clip of a scene that looks cool. Here's a scene from
made the trailer, they should win an award because they made this look like a really good movie.
Yeah. And without saying anything about it, the ending, like the movie's going along for 2 fucking hours and they're like, we need to end this movie soon because we're running out of money or time or whatever. So they go, do, next. Boom, credits. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the whole movie's lagged, and then the end was so fast.
even the fucking, like, after the climax, and they have, like, the next day part, where, like, oh, what happens to the characters after this movie ends? And, like, just that, like, quick pan over a line or two, and then it's, like, done. You're like, that didn't need to be there if you, like, right. It didn't, or at least.
I gave it a 3.
I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 3. Yeah, like I said, some of the cinematography was decent, but it didn't fit the movie.
I have this feeling in movies, and I can't describe it. It's more of a in real life feeling that I can't really describe well. And people say they understand, but I don't know if they do. But there's times when I'll walk around and I'll go, I feel like I'm on a movie set. Because, like, just the way, like, when movie sets are like, oh, you see the front of the building and, like, you see a little bit into it, but you don't see the whole thing. It feels like just a facing. That movie felt like I was watching a fucking movie set. Like, it felt like, I'm like, no one lives in these houses. These are all obvious placeholders for a fucking movie.
That was... I know you didn't like it, but that was some of the stuff I liked, was the shots from outside the house looking in.
They were cool, but it was very
Hitchcocky.
It felt like a movie.
Yeah, it felt like a movie.
It was almost a real movie. oh boy, what's next? We talked about that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's actually the next one I watched was a movie you watched, and then I have three more that we both watched together, and then I have one by myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so then the next movie I watched in the theater, I went and saw the Lego Ninjago movie. If you haven't seen the Lego movie... Oh, shit. Hang on. Lego movie... I watched... February 2014 is when we watched the first Lego movie.
It was so good.
I still haven't watched the Lego Batman movie, which I should. But... I'm like, I'll go see a movie before work. So I went to go see the Lego Ninjago movie.
Uh-huh.
This movie assumes you've saw the Lego movie.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen the first Lego movie, this one still works.
Yeah.
But it assumes you saw the first one. Because the movie takes place in real world. This little kid is getting chased by bullies. And he... goes into this antique shop that is run by Jackie Chan, or Jackie Chan's character. and he decides to tell a little kid a story about this little guy, Lloyd, who didn't think he was a hero, but became one.
Whoa.
And then it does, like, a slow zoom in, and then it eventually gets into the song. But before it does that, you see part, like, around the antique shop... and there's a fish tank, and it has little Lego fish and sharks just, like, floating in it, which I thought was really hilarious because there was no actual fish in it. It's just a giant tank with little Legos in it. But anyway, there's... it goes to this little town. Ninjago is the city that all these characters live in, apparently.
Wow, you're looking at this thing like, they live there, apparently.
No, but apparently it's called Ninjago. And I thought that was the names of the group. Yeah, like Power Rangers. It's like, oh, they live in Power Ranger. No. But anyway, Lloyd is the main character, and you find out that his dad is the evil Gargadon, who tries to invade the city every single day.
Oh, Jesus.
And apparently he's not good if he has to keep going back.
Well, Pinky the Brain, so.
But Lloyd and a bunch of his friends are all ninja robot people, because they all have giant mechs that they fly around, and he's got, like, a green dragon, and there's Jay and all these people. And each one has powers. So there's one that has fire, one has lightning. And Lloyd has green power, which I thought was kind of funny, because it's like they all have real... they got... fire, ice, water, lightning, earth, and green. But, yeah, Gargadon is obsessed with sharks and fish and stuff, so he makes all of his minions dress up like sharks and fish, which is kind of funny. and, yeah, he's invading. Oh, my God, I'm trying to remember what happens.
I'm assuming he fails?
Yeah, something... oh, so it gets to a big epic fight where it's Lloyd versus Gargadon, and he grabs the ultimate weapon, and I'm not going to give spoilers away, but he activates the ultimate weapon, which brings in an even worse villain than Gargadon. So then Gargadon and Lloyd and all the other ninja guys team up to get this new ultimate weapon. The ultimate weapon to stop this new bad guy.
Like Apocalypse.
Yeah. So the entire time, they're trying to go on this quest to find the ultimate weapon. Lloyd and his dad, Gargadon, slowly start bonding and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, father, son.
It's like the first movie.
But I didn't write the quote down, so I'm going to, like, misquote it. One of my favorite lines was, how could I let you down? I wasn't even there.
Ruin your life?
Yeah. How could I have ruined your life? I wasn't even there. But he's so clueless on being a dad, and I don't know, it's kind
of
funny.
Who's the voice of the main bad guy again?
It's Justin Theroux as Gal Gadot.
Okay.
And Olivia Munn is his mom. Is Laloid's mom. And then Laloid is 127 Hours his brother.
David Franco.
Yeah.
Dave Franco.
But it's a pretty interesting movie. It was very cliche. It didn't bring a lot of new stuff to the table. They tried doing a song that was similar to Everything is Awesome, but it didn't have the same catchiness.
Ninja!
They had that as his ringtone on his phone. Because apparently it's a TV show.
Yeah.
So I've never watched the show. Obviously, they're different actors because these are big-name actors.
Yeah, because in LEGO Dimensions, like if you have a vehicle, you push a button, it's like, Ninja! Ninja! It plays a theme song.
So it was... and Gal Gadot had this giant gun that shot sharks. And it had the chain of sharks coming from a tank. Just like reloading up the gun to constantly shooting it and stuff.
Little sharks.
I thought it was entertaining. I gave it a 7. It wasn't as good as the first Lego movie. Like I said, I haven't watched the Batman one yet, so I don't know where that one ranks. But, I mean, it's definitely a family kids movie.
Yeah.
The plot isn't that thick. There's a couple jokes that I laughed at, which is kind of funny because I felt kind of like a creep because I was there in the movie theater by myself, and then there was like all these families with their kids. So I was like the only one that didn't have a kid in that theater. And then I was also the only person who laughed out loud in the theater. Like, the most noise I heard was during the trailers, after the trailer got done, do you want to see that one? Like, was the parents asking the kids, do you want to see that one? And then once the movie was happening, you could just hear people eating popcorn and drinking soda, but I laughed probably twice out loud, and I don't remember anyone else laughing.
I hate to say it, though, but I think whenever we see a movie and we laugh out loud, guaranteed no one else is laughing at that
part. Oh, yeah,
It's always...
Because we have different senses of humor. Like, the generic stuff that's meant to be a joke doesn't seem to be as funny as the way people deliver lines.
Yeah.
Like, the way certain lines were delivered made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good comedian actors that are voices in this movie. I'm not even going to try to list them all, but it was good. I think it was better than I thought it was going to be, but it was very cliche.
Yeah.
It was definitely a money grab kind of movie because now they can sell all these things. I gave it a 7.
Yeah. Like I said, most of the movies I watched, you watched too. So. Okay.
So then the next movie I watched... Yeah, I got... So the next movie I watched was one of them on my list that I should have seen by now, that I finally got around to watching, and it's A Few Good Men.
Oh, not the one I thought.
The reason I haven't watched this movie is, one, it's a court drama movie. Two, it's an army movie. I'm not huge into army and court stuff, but this one was intriguing.
Uh-huh.
It is... Tom Cruise is the main character. He's this little, I know everything, I'm better than everybody kind of asshole-y cocky guy, which I feel like he is in real life. And then Demi Moore is trying to try this case, but her elders, whatever?
Superiors
are giving it to Tom Cruise's character because they don't want a woman doing stuff.
Typical 90s.
But what happens is, at the very beginning of the movie, you see these guys go into this guy's bunker, and he's sleeping, and they hold him down, and they shove a sock down his throat, or into his mouth, and, like, tie it shut, and, like, they're, you know, basically hazing him. But what happens is he chokes and dies, and he's, like, choking on blood. And he died. And they're Jesus. Like, oh, shit. So these two guys that did this to this kid are tried basically for murder, even though they said that we didn't kill him. We were doing a prank, but that's not what killed him.
Yeah.
So basically they go to court for that. But
like second degree.
The motive, they said, was one of these guys fired shots across enemy lines when they shouldn't have. But I guess it was a mischarge or whatever, discharge. And it shot off into enemy lines, and he was going to rat them out.
Oh.
So they were going to basically do this hazing on him to basically tell him, don't fucking rat us out. But he ends up dying. So then they're like, okay, so there's a reason for you guys to want to kill him. So then this whole thing goes to court, and there's a thing called Code Red, which means
so
that,
drinking.
Which means, like, off the record, you can do stuff to this guy because he is disobeying the chain of command. So basically what they were doing was considered a code red. Yeah, that's all I wrote down for it. So, like, a good first half of the movie is telling you what's happened to lead up to the point, and then the second half is them in court. And like I said, I'm not a huge army person, I'm not a huge court person, but this one was done really well. It deserves every award it won, I think.
Okay.
I gave it an 8.5.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, it was really good. It was surprisingly good. But that's the reason I haven't watched it since now.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did watch it.
I would say I'm actually just surprised, like, an army court drama, I'm like, I'm surprised you gave it 8.5 just from...
So, yeah, I thought that one was good. The next movie we saw in the theater.
Oh, boy. I could tell you more about that one.
We saw Jigsaw.
Now, I've seen all the Saw movies, all 7 of them.
You see Saw.
I saw see. Saw, saw. Saw.
Seesaw.
Saw. I know that. I know what a seesaw is. That was like a weird wave. So... In the Saw movies, many, 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 many years ago, back in the 2000s, 2004, I want to say, first one came out. I could be wrong. 2005. What was happening was, like, this guy, the Jigsaw Killer, he would take human beings.
First one was 2004.
Nice. Take human beings and put them into these, like, traps and saying, hey, I'm not going to murder you, but you got to prove that life is worth living, that you'll do this to save yourself, and most people end up dying, a few people ended up living, and so on and so forth. But like, like the movies would show, usually like a one set of traps, and people either going through them or whatever and stuff. And then in the other part of the movie, they would show like a whole lot of backstory to the Jigsaw Killer. But then in like the third or fourth one, the Jigsaw Killer dies. He died because he had a brain tumor and all this other stuff. But even though he had a brain tumor, like, he died by someone slitting his throat and so on and so forth. And then the movies ended in about 2012, 2010.
The final chapter came
out. Okay, 2010. The last one came out. And then, but then this movie, Jigsaw, bodies start showing up with the puzzle pieces carved out of them, like Jigsaw used to do. But everyone's like, that can't be. The Jigsaw Killer died like 10 years ago. This can't be him. It's got to be a copycat killer.
Yeah,
and all this other stuff. 2007, I think, was when...
Yeah, 2006 is when 3 came out.
Okay.
But I'm sure...
Time frames and whatever movies.
Isn't the same as real life.
Yeah. So then you, the movie takes place of the, you see like the detectives and doctors dealing with these bodies, and they're trying to figure out, oh shit, we got to figure out who is the Jigsaw Killer still alive? Is he dead?
Is it a copycat?
Is what's going on? Meanwhile, you're seeing, simultaneously, you're seeing a bunch of people going through.
It cuts between that, like back and forth between the detectives trying to figure shit out, and then it cuts to these people in... I don't know what you'd call it, like, the game?
Yeah, yeah. They're going through the trials. But it's kind of neat because, like, the characters kind of have ties to the Jigsaw Killer himself. So it was kind of neat because it's not just like, oh, here's a random person. You're a banker who steals money from
all
the poor.
These people links to each other.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, because like the one lady.
Even the cops. There's links to the cops.
Because the lady was a neighbor and the one guy, like, the thing. There were a few moments where I was like, I watched it and I'm going, oh, shit. What is happening here? This is intriguing.
There's a couple points where I was like watching. I'm like, is that a fuck up or is that on purpose?
Yeah,
like, I thought they fucked some things up, and then I was like, oh no, wait, nope, never mind.
Yeah, but overall, I think it's one of the better Jigsaw movies.
Yeah, I've only seen the first Jigsaw or the first Saw movie and this one, so I only saw Saw 1 and Jigsaw. And to me, I like this one better than Saw.
Yeah.
It was a nice standalone movie.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have to see any of the other ones to see this one.
Yeah.
And understand what they're doing. I don't know. And it wasn't as graphic.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I haven't watched the Saw movies is because they're really gory and gross.
Some are horrible, yeah.
Not saying there's not gore and stuff in this, but it was a lot more tolerable.
The fucking motorcycle part. Holy shit.
Yeah. I was thinking the end of the movie.
That was cool.
But it's not like super horrible like some of the other Saw movies from clips I saw. But yeah, I gave it... Where is it?
I
gave it an 8.
Okay. I gave it a 7.5.
Yeah, I was really nice to movies this month, I think.
Yeah, the whole time I was watching it, I wasn't going, ew, this is boring, but it didn't blow my mind, but also it was a nice jumping back into a series after however many years from being away. It didn't feel like it was missing, it felt like it belonged and also was its own thing.
Okay. Well, I have to go back here for a second for Few Good Men.
Okay.
Because I said that I would, like, I might ruin these.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I forgot to mention Jack Nicholson's character is, like, in charge of all these army guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tom Cruise, toward the end of the movie, calls him to the stand.
And Jack Nicholson is a Jigsaw killer.
Yeah. He calls Jack Nicholson to the stand in A Few Good Men. And he's trying to get Jack Nicholson to admit this happened.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing it up is because it's the most popular thing in the movie.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is to get him to break.
Mm-hmm.
And he fucking gets Jack Nicholson to break because he's like, I just want the truth. He's like, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. You know, the most famous line in the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the movie where he cracks and tells him, yes, I told him to do it.
Oh.
So you're like, oh, shit. And then he gets arrested. And, yeah. So it's, like, kind of interesting that the most famous part of the movie is, like, the end.
Well, I always think it's weird whenever they have, like, people have very specific parts of the movie. They go, this line, man. This is the line that everyone knows. And then they go watch the movie and they're like, they'll say, you talking to me? All right. Like, wait, what? That's, like that whole, like, that's a bad example because there's a part where he's, like, just, like.
In the mirror.
Yeah, that part is pretty badass in the movie.
But I'm just thinking it's funny because it's like that line is like the breaking point of that character. And you're just like, oh, so it's very important to the movie.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to go back and say that because I just remembered, you guys seen A Few Good Men. Because the next movie I saw...
was A Few Less Men.
Saving Private Ryan. Another war movie.
I don't know any quotes from that, though. Except
he's in grade school.
That part was good.
So this movie's been out for a long time.
2000.
And I feel
was
like
2000?
Everybody 99? Has seen this movie. Everyone I know has seen this movie.
I own it, so you borrowed it from me.
So the basic gist of the movie is you get to see what war is really like.
It's a war.
You see them like trying to get up to the front lines and
beaches of Normandy,
people dying left and right. Is that, I was assuming that's what it was.
Yeah.
There's a lot of death and stuff. And then you find out that this mother lost 3 of her 4 kids all in the same day. And they're like, holy shit, that's horrible. we should make it so she doesn't have to say bye to all four.
Yeah.
So the entire movie from that point on is them trying to figure out where he is because they dropped him from a plane or a helicopter or something.
Yeah, plane, probably plane more realistic.
Yeah. So they don't exactly know where he landed. So the entire movie, they're trying to get to him. And they come across Private Ryan, but it's not the same Ryan, who's played by...
Malcolm Reynolds. Nope. Nathan Fillion.
I almost said Castle. So, which I was like, oh, I didn't see that twist coming. I'm like, I guess Ryan's kind of a popular last name. But by the time they get to Matt Damon, who's playing Ryan, he's like, I'm not leaving. Yeah. I have an important job here.
Yeah.
He's like, this is why I'm here. I know it sucks if I die, but this job is more important. Is more important to the entire country than it's just my mom. And they're like, oh, fuck. All right, we're going to stick around and help you.
Yeah.
So then, like, the whole crew that came looking for him ends up helping at the end.
All I remember is, like, Giovanni Ribisi and Tom Hanks were part of that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple other ones I can't remember exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, so then there's, like, this huge...
Oh, I think the dude from Big Trouble is in it.
Yeah. I don't remember. The doctor guy. I can't remember who he is, but he was pretty good too. So the end of the movie is them, you know, trying to keep this area,
the tanks and stuff,
Americans' territory and stuff like that. So they have to take out tanks and they're just people. It's pretty epic.
Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel's in it.
Adam Goldberg is I think the. Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, I gave it a 7.5. It was good. It was kind of gross.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of death and a lot of gross things. But that was the point. They want you to show you what war is like, even though it's fake in that movie. It still rings true.
Tom Hanks looks so young in this movie.
He is kind of young in this movie. I gave it a 7.5. So that was when I saw that.
It came out like 19 years ago. So Tom Sizemore is the guy I was thinking of from Big Trouble.
And I was going to say, and then the third movie I watched that I should have seen by now. The reason I watched three of them is because I could not get my hands on Hocus Pocus. I didn't want to buy it. And then, because I put a hold on it at the library at the beginning of the month.
Yeah.
And I thought by the end I would get it, and it still hasn't shown up. But then... the end of the month, I borrowed it from somebody at work. So, actually, Sierra has gotten two movies from me that I need because she gave me the one for Lost Boys.
Oh.
Because the Lost Boys DVD from the library was too scratched up.
Yeah.
So I borrowed that one and then Hocus Pocus. Have you seen Hocus Pocus?
Nope. All I know
it's all right.
What's her face? The girl, another girl.
Yeah. So the movie starts with these three witches back in Salem, Massachusetts.
In 16...
something. Yeah. Keep going. So back in 16 something.
1687, I want to say.
It's probably like 97 or something because it was like 100 years later. So it starts with them and they basically suck the souls from children so they can stay young forever. But then they get lynched.
1693.
Yeah, okay.
We're so close.
So 93 is when the movie came out. So they get lynched and they die. But there's a spell that if a virgin lights this candle, they come back to life. And then it cuts to 1993... 100 years after the three famous sisters died,
300 years.
That everyone in Salem knows these three witches by their name, because they're the most famous witches of all time. And it's Halloween, and this kid gets picked on a lot, and he gets chased, and they go into this scary house, and he lights the candle, and oh shit, because he's a virgin, he lit the candle, and now the witches are back. And then the rest of the movie... is them trying to stop the witches.
Mm-hmm.
And the witches trying to get souls so they can stay young forever, because they can live forever. Oh, back in 1693?
1693. Yeah.
So it's 300 years.
Yeah.
The little kid, like, this kid's sister got the soul sucked out of it by the witches, and he, like, tried to stop her, but his sister died. And the witches turned him into a cat. And he's been a cat for 300 years, and he can't die.
So when laser pointers were invented, that cat fucking lost his mind.
So I remember seeing, like, a t-shirt, and it was like, Hocus Pocus, and it showed a cat with tire tracks over it. Because it happens in the movie where the cat gets run over by a car, but he can't die. So he just gets back up and then walks on. So this cat, who learned how to speak in 300 years, he was a real kid.
I mean, it's called evolution.
So he's helping these three kids track down the witches and try to stop them and stuff. And they find out that they have until sunup to stop these witches. Because once the sun comes up, and if they will die, because they have to, like, get a soul to survive.
Okay.
If the sun comes up, then they all die and the kids win. And the dumbest thing about the end of the movie is that they're fighting with the witches and stuff like that. And they're like, we're going to win, we're going to win. There's something that's been invented since the 1600s. And like, what? Daylight savings time.
No.
So they're able to kill the witches because of daylight savings time?
Oh, but it ends this weekend.
Yeah, but the sun was still up longer.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah, that's how the movie ended.
That's fucking great. No, because I saw there's a website I buy t-shirts off of sometimes, like pop culture t-shirts. And I was like, this seems interesting. I want to buy this one, even though I had no idea what it was. Because it's like Salem, Massachusetts, 1693, the Sanderson house.
That's what it is, the Sanderson
sisters. And it's really, it's like the decrepit house. I'm like, this sounds cool. I look it up, I'm like, oh, it's Hocus Pocus. I'm like, because Sanderson is one of my favorite fake last names. You know, it's a real, like, whenever I have to choose something, it's like, it's Anderson. No, it's Sanderson.
So,
I always loved Sanderson.
So, Hocus Pocus, I think I would have enjoyed it more as a kid.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I would have enjoyed it more for nostalgia, but yeah. Since I haven't seen it till now, it was okay.
Yeah.
I gave it a 6.
Okay.
So it's still a decent score. I'm not, like, pooping on it. But, you know, 6 isn't a horrible score, but it's not the best. Like I said, if I saw it as a kid, I'd be like, oh, yeah, maybe it still holds up. Labyrinth, I think, still holds up. But if I never saw it as a kid, I probably wouldn't like it as much. I gave that one a 6.
How many movies you have left?
Just the next one we saw in the theater.
No, we have at least 2. You missed one.
Which one did I miss? Fishing.
Nope. I was buying me out a hatchet.
Oh, shit. I didn't write that one down.
Oh, boy.
Fishing? It looked like fishing.
I was trying to do... That's what it's more of an act.
So I saw that way earlier in the month.
I was like the second to last movie, third to last movie I watched.
So I got two movies then.
I have 2 movies as well.
So go ahead.
Actually, 3 movies, sorry. Hatchet is one of them. Surprise, Hatchet.
Hatchet. I don't know why you had to be secret about it. It was going to be the next one we're talking about anyway.
I know. The next movie we watched was Hatchet. I know Jason likes it. What's his name? Adam Green?
Adam Green. Yeah, he's an entertaining guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of funny.
Yeah. So he made this movie called Hatchet.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm talking about it. It's more of your movie.
Okay, so one of my coworkers, Kip, showed me Adam Green because I didn't know exactly who he was. So we were watching a bunch of his YouTube stuff because he does scary sleepovers and...
I was terrified.
Terrified? Oh, yeah, Terrified. And another show called Terrified.
That one's...
Actors... And they tell stories about either the movies they're on or things that happen to them that are scary and things like that. And I watched a bunch of their videos on YouTube and it was pretty entertaining. And I felt like I should watch one of his movies.
Yeah.
And I came across Hatchet at a used video game or used movie store for like $3. So I picked it up. And I decided to watch it. Hatchet is kind of like a throwback movie to the beginning of Michael Myers, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, where they're trying to create a new franchise of slasher films. And this one takes place in New Orleans. During Mardi Gras season. And the one character wants to go on this haunted boat ride because he's like sick of all these drunk people and boobs, I guess. And he goes on this boat ride and...
Because he's got broke with his girlfriend of like forever.
Yeah. So him and his friend go on this boat ride and there's this guy who's a pervert and trying to do like a Girls Gone Wild type thing in New Orleans.
Bill Murray's brother.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There's
Joel Murray.
And then there's like this deformed kid who lives on the, in the swamps, who is super strong. And I forget what his name is.
Victor Crowley. Such a New Orleans name.
Yeah.
Victor Crowley.
And, he basically hunts them down with the hatchet. Cause he used to cut wood for their, to keep warm.
Yeah.
Him and his dad. And, it's a slasher film. It's like over the top gore.
Yeah.
Where like there's a part where he just pulls someone's head off and, it's ridiculous. There's like no way any of these things could have happened, but it was, you know, over the top slasher.
Small cameos by Candyman and Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Both are in that movie for a tiny bit. I can't remember their name. Robert Englund and Tony Todd both like make small appearances in it. I'm like, that's kind of cool. It'd be like, hey, I'm going to make a movie. You want to be in it, Freddy Krueger? For a little bit. All right. Hey, Candyman, you want to be in it? Sure.
Wonder if there's any other movies I forgot about this month.
I don't know.
Probably.
It was all right. I don't want to ruin anything in the movie, but like Jason kind of knows my expectations for sometimes with like slasher horror movies, and It reached that point where I'm like, all right, fine. the characters
don't go into it expecting to see anything new.
No, it's just the characters were a little more colorful, which was fine. Yeah, the scenes are more gory than a normal just slasher movie, like just in creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything too out of the ordinary. I did kind of like the as shitty as the character was, the guy who drove the haunted boat to her.
Oh yeah,
he was entertaining.
Yeah.
Well,
it's actually funny because at the beginning of the movie, Adam Green is one of the kids that stays behind.
Yeah. I saw that he's buddy number one or something. I gave it a 6.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.
All right.
That was decent.
The next movie...
It's one of those that it was a fun slasher movie. I'd be interested to see what the other ones are like.
Yeah. Next one I watched was Paranormal Activity... The Ghost Dimension. Now, there's been a lot of Paranormal Activity movies. I watched a good 2/3 of them in the theater. The only two I didn't watch in the theater were like the last two, which they stopped numbering because it was Paranormal Activity 1, or Paranormal Activity, then 2, then 3, then 4, then the marked ones, and then the Ghost Dimension. Because I saw on like Wikipedia or whatever, they mentioned that the Ghost Dimensions was a spinoff. Not Ghost Dimension, sorry. The Marked One's a spinoff, even though it's the fifth one. And then I guess they didn't know whether to number this one 6 or 5. So they just said, The Ghost Dimension. And then, because I'm like, I was always worried. I'm like, with these movies, they can keep making more and more and sprinkle a little bit of history in with each one as we went. They'll never, ever finish the story. Turns out, this is the last one in the story. So, it's probably one of my favorite ones. The first one's classic because it's the first one and like, holy shit, look what they can do with this type of idea other than Blair Witch. But also, I imagine this one they spent the most amount of money on because another one's like, oh, it's a ghost. You don't see anything. This one, it starts off... This one is almost a direct sequel from the third one because the first two, it's you follow the families. In the third one, it's a prequel. The guys they're setting up their stuff for Christmas because it's Christmas season. So setting up the lights, and the guy brings up a box from the basement, and it's full of tapes. And the guy's like, "What the hell are all these tapes for?" And he has, and there's a camera in there, and the camera looks like weird. Like, what is all this extra shit in here? This is weird. But the guy is testing out the camera around the house, and he starts seeing, like, he's seeing, not to say Stranger Things ripped it off or anything, but there's, like, sections of the house where it looks like there's, like, this weird shadow to it. And then once they walk inside the shadow, there's, like, bits and pieces of stuff just, like, floating around. It looks really creepy, but it looks pretty cool because then, like, throughout the movie, like, whatever the presence is in the house gets more and more solidified to where points like the camera's picking up something that looks like a Venom symbiote just like crawling around the ceiling and up the walls and stuff. It's pretty cool. But the overall story of Paranormal Activity kind of gets wrapped up and told in this one where there's this coven of witches that want to resurrect this demon. But they need these... specific girls to be born during these certain times, these kids to be born during these certain times, so they can be vessels for the spirit's body when it comes, when it wants to become human. And these guys find the tapes of when the little girls, the prequel from 3, and they're watching it and going, dude, this is fucked up. We need to do something about this. And we think that they realize that the house they're in was built over the house that was in the third movie, got burnt down. So they realized that they're in the same house and all this other stuff like that. I like it because it actually, like, it gives more to the story. And both at the same time, I could see it being the last one in this series and also being, we need a lot more. Because the story in itself wraps up in a strange kind of way, which goes, hey, see, this is what's been trying to happen the whole time. Here's the answer to whether it will or will not happen.
Hmm.
The question I have is what comes next type thing. And, because the coven, there's so many people involved, and I'm like, well, now what's going to happen to all these people? Like, are we going to see other stuff? What's going to happen? And the guy who made the movie said that in the years down the road, they imagine like re-imaging it or like rebooting the series again once this movie was done. But I liked it a lot. Olivia Taylor-Dudley is in it from 5 Second Films. I'm not really sure what her character was in the movie because it's like the husband, wife, their daughter. And then she's there hanging out in the house. And then the husband, his brother, is like just broke up with his girlfriend. So he's like staying at the house. So he's like always like hitting on Olivia. And she's like, nope, nothing to do with you, sir. But she's like, she's kind of like a nanny sort of thing. But like she's very spiritual. And stuff like that. And, but I gave it a 7.5. I liked it. I kind of want to see in 3D, though, because that was a 3D movie.
Oh, okay. Ghost Dimension.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's that. The last movie of the month, you and I saw together.
Yeah, we saw Blade Runner 2049, right?
Yeah.
That's the number?
I believe so, because...
That's what I wrote down.
The first one took place in, like, 2020, was it?
I don't know. Let me look.
I could be wrong, but it was in a very... a year that I'm like, I'll be living in this year soon, and it's not going to be like this at all.
Blade Runner franchise.
But yeah.
Excuse me.
It was one of those movies where we were going to watch it initially.
Like the original one. Yeah.
Yeah, initially. Like the first one before we saw.
I saw the first one a long time ago.
2019 is the first one.
There you go. It's almost there. Yep, there it is.
We're going to watch it just like to revamp ourselves.
Just like, to get a refresher course. But you really don't need to see the first one. The only thing you would need to know is Harrison Ford. Like, what his character was.
And there's a few references to a character from the first movie.
Oh, yeah. The girl.
Yeah, this one. Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as what the movie's about, they do a pretty good synopsis at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, they tell you right away.
What the movie is about. What the first one is. So this one takes place... would you say 2019?
2019.
So 30 years later?
Yeah.
And you follow Ryan Gosling, whose character is hunting down...
Replicants.
Replicants, that's the word. Replicants from basically the first film. Because since then, replicants have been upgraded.
Yeah.
To like a 2.0 type thing, where they have to obey their masters and they can't run off the grid. So they're hunting down all the old replicants that are basically off the grid. And that's what Ryan Gosling is doing.
I have to admit, though, the very first scene in the movie when he's going after David Bautista.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Drax.
Yeah.
And, like, god damn it, he's in this movie. Like, he's a wrestler. He
fucking, was really good.
He fucking nailed that role. Yeah. Holy shit.
That was awesome.
I was like, I did not expect... Because, like, if I didn't know that, I'm like, who's this actor? Who's this new guy? He's really good. And, like, to go, oh, shit, that's the guy who plays Drax? He's like, I'm a farmer. Like, this dude, yeah. I'm like, holy shit. That was...
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going around hunting down old replicants to retire them. Retire them. And as he's doing this, he comes across this, like, buried skeleton.
Yeah, this box.
And then, I don't know. I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, there's a box that was buried in the ground, and there was, oh, there was a burial in here, and they find details. Yeah, like, it's like, without spoiling much, because, like, a lot of the movies, like, it's 2.5 yeah. hours of just
exploring. So the movie, I'm going to be...
2 hours and 44 minutes.
So the movie has a lot of ups and downs, ins and outs. So I don't want to, like, tell you what all that stuff is. Because there's parts you're thinking, oh, this is what the movie's about.
Yeah.
And then it changes to this, and then that.
Well,
first off, I just want to say the cinematography was amazing.
Gorgeous.
Special effects, like...
Pretty damn good.
Fucking
pretty
amazing.
Pretty fucking damn good.
The holograms and stuff they had in it
Holy
were phenomenal.
Shit. That character who was...
Like,
Joey? Oh, that character was so good.
There was a lot of scenes where you could just take a still shot... And it'd be art.
Yeah.
It was very well made. With that being said, this isn't my kind of movie.
Correct. Same here.
I'm not saying I don't like... I didn't like it. I liked it. It was, like I said, visually amazing. It was very well crafted. I'm just not the demographic that it's aimed for. But I know a lot of people who would like that movie.
There are
and
a lot,
and they're not wrong.
There are a lot of, like, yeah, like you said, it's not my kind of movie.
And it's
but
also really long.
It looks 2:44, 2 hours 44 minutes. It, like, a lot of characters are amazing. I didn't care for Jared Leto's character.
No, I didn't either.
But other than that, like, everyone else was fucking awesome.
Yeah, he was kind of
looked,
a disappointing.
Yeah, it character. Looked amazing. It the soundtrack was fucking awesome. The like there are moments in the movie where I'm like, I was literally like, I don't know if they're going to get out of this.
So, also, a funny point is Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford was in that a lot more than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
Blade Runner, he was in it a lot less than I thought he was going to be.
To be honest, once you first ran into him, I was like, all right, we're wrapping up with the movie. We were half done.
I know. But I was thinking that... Watching the trailer and stuff, I thought it was going to be like a buddy cop thing.
Yeah.
Where it was like both of them doing the stuff, but no, he's just one of the guys that he's got to like try to find.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it was like, I thought they were going to be working together, judging by like promos and stuff, but they're not working together.
Yeah. Also, like for the plot wise, without saying anything, they find stuff, something in the box that leads to a giant... This could change everything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it makes you go, I need to read or learn more about what exactly the people in this world do and are. Because I'm like, is that possible? Like, what? I didn't understand. Like, I thought I knew what, like, I don't know. Yeah. I gave it a 6.5.
Oh, shit. Where am I? Minimize.
Oh, God. He's gone forever.
I'm gone forever. I gave it a 7.5.
All right.
It was a good movie, just not aimed for me.
Yeah.
That's the last movie I saw.
Yeah, that's same here. It's the last movie.
So the best movie I saw was Purge, the election year, with a 9. The worst one I saw was Snowman with a 3.
The best movie I watched, all tied for 7.5, was Jigsaw, Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension, Purge, Election Year, and Psycho 2 with 7.5. And the worst movie I saw was Tales from the Crypt, Bordello of Blood with a 3.
Wow, that was worse than Snowman.
Dude, it fucking made me want to stop. At least Snowman, like, had my attention at some points.
Yeah, so the three movies that were on my list to watch was Saving Private Ryan with 8.5. Nope. Few Good Men with 8.5. Saving Private Ryan with 7.5. And Hocus Pocus with a 6.
Basically, the movies I watched, all the ones that Jason didn't see. Like, honestly, everyone here, I'm like, either I saw it with Jason or it was out of my collection.
Yeah.
That's it.
So,
but yeah, if you have any suggestions or any of that fun stuff, stuffbyscott@gmail.com.
Or if you saw Snowman and think we are completely wrong, tell us why. Ooh. I would like to know that we're wrong.
Yes, I want to know.
Because, like I said, when I see bad reviews, I don't believe them.
The problem I have with that movie is that it sucks so much, but part of me says
it should be good.
No, part of me like is trying to find reasons to like it. Like, no, it wasn't that bad. You liked this part. Like, did I? I don't know. Yeah,
to me, this was worse than Dark Tower.
Yeah, my rating proves that too.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I imagine.
I remember I told someone at work, I'm like, Snowman was the worst movie I saw all year. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah. And I saw Dark Tower.
And you just bought Dark Tower.
I did just buy Dark Tower. I want to see the bonus features.
I'm going to buy it. I'm just going to wait.
Yeah, it'll probably be a Black Friday deal.
Yeah, I'll be like.
The $5.
Ugh, all right. Well, anyway, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Other than that, for October,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.